Thank you. I have three mics. Okay, that's the Trinity now. Pastor, thank you so much. Thank you. Pastor Julius, thank you for not saying everything. I owe him a lot. One time we're coming from Botswana. We're driving, eh? And we're in an open van. We went to pick up television equipment, yeah, for our television ministry. And I got so tired of driving, and it was so dark. I said, we need to stop so that we can change drivers. And so, let's maybe wait until we see a place where there are people, some fire burning or light, you know. So we saw some lights, you know. So I said, yeah, we'll stop here. So when we stopped, what we saw was not lights or fire burning. It was the eyes of the lions, and there were a pack of them. And we stopped right there. And he looked. With three people at the back and three in front. So then when he looked, he said, Pastor, it's lions. I saw them. And I just, you know the manual gears? Automatic, you just go. But that one, when you jam it. Yeah? So I just went into one and went, speed off. And then a miracle happened. Ever been healed by a lion? No one here. When he said lion, suddenly the pain stopped. Well, I didn't ask permission. How free should I be? I said, the lion healed me. So the pain just cut. Reminds me of the lady I was praying for in Windhoek. 2013, she had both her kidneys, she had kidney problems. And then she slumped down. In fact, she fell down sitting. And then she started crying. So I said, Mama, what's wrong with you? She says, when I fell down in a sitting position, the pain just cut. Up to today, she's healed. You know? So those lions, thank you for seeing for mentioning lions. Because otherwise the pain would have still been on me. And that's how we survived. Can you imagine what would have happened? Eh? Christian. This man would have been in the belly of the lion by now. Because I was going to come out. He was going to come out where the lions were to switch. So they were going to eat him first. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. I want to thank you so much. And are you ready for the word of God? Right. I want you to turn with me in your Bibles, and then don't get too cool on me. All right. Bless the Lord. I was up in one place. Someone said, what do you make noise, you Pentecostals? I said, no, we don't make noise. Is two things happened when the baby is born in the maternity ward. The first thing you hear is noise. So when I got born again, the first thing people heard was noise. All right. Bless the Lord. If you have your Bibles with you, I want you to turn to the book of Psalm 102 and verse 13. Bless the Lord. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the anointing of your spirit this morning. Let it be just as your servant prayed, that no one leaves here today without a touch from you. That no one leaves this place to go back the same way they came in. Thank you that the word of God has power to transform when we believe it. And Father, this morning we believe in Jesus' mighty name, and everybody shouted amen. Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, don't take me for granted because you don't know what I am going to become. Amen. Isn't that true? That you never, you, is that your wife, sir? You just never can tell what can come out of that vessel. I know she's your wife, you know each other, you know everything about each other. But then when God deals with us, there are things God deals with us individually, privately, just for us. Amen. So that's why we don't take things for granted. Amen, Pastor Chilundika. All right. There's a man who was this short. He used to come to Mutondo House where I worked in ZCCM. And he would come, and I was working in the accounting department there. And every time he's coming, and then one time I followed him to the kiosk. I said, sir, tell me about your life in prison when KK, our founding president, put him in detention. Right. He became so powerful. Right. He was the president of the Zambia Congress of Trade Union. It was just one union, the whole country, but now we have several. So he was powerful. But little did I know that man, a few years later, was going to become the president of the Republic of Zambia. Are you there? So you just never can tell. Amen. You believe that? That's why I didn't want to take Pastor Chilundika for granted. Just the only thing he's changed his name since he's been here, so he's Pastor Chi now. So, bless the Lord. So I need to send that message back home to Dr. Mumba. All right. Everybody say, destined for favor. I want to talk about the power of favor this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Favor. In the book of Psalms, chapter 103, the Bible says, 102, did I say 2? It's 2, right. Okay, verse 3. Verse 13, I think. Okay. It says, you will arise and have mercy on Zion, for the time to favor her, yes, the set time has come. Amen. When the set time comes, the devil can do nothing about it. Jesus said, every tree that my heavenly Father has not planted shall be uprooted. Some things need to be uprooted here this morning. Hallelujah. For the time to favor her has come. Thou shalt arise. This is God. And have mercy upon Zion. For the time to favor her, yeah, the set time has come. And if I were you, as I read that, I'll put my name in place of Zion, because Zion is to the church. For the time to favor you has come. And the other word we'll discover later is for favor is grace, which I'm going to explain, right? And grace, I define grace, not the Pentecostal way they taught us, grace is unmerited favor, and they ended there, and we got lost. Grace is divine assistance from God that gives you an advantage over those that are better than you. That's what grace is able to do. And that's what favor is able to do. Are you following me today? By the way, by the close of this service, if you are sick, as I minister, if you are sick in your body, you are in the right place. Are you there? Amen. God is going to touch you. God will heal you. God will deliver you. God will break every chain, invisible chain that binds you. That chain that hinders you, that limits you. When favor comes, it takes away the limitation of your life. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. God's desire for you and I is that we come into a great harvest of favor as covenant children of God, we are programmed for divine harvests of God's blessings. Covenant children. Are you there? When you are a covenant child, there is no limit to what God can do for you and through you. Are you there? No limit. So you say, Pastor, but what is favor? There are three words that translates to favor in the Old and the New Testament. We'll lay this down and then we can fly a little bit. The first one is C-H-E-N, chain. Follow me. Chain. Now, chain means kindness. Chain means grace. Chain means loveliness, charm, preciousness. This is the Old Testament Hebrew word for favor. The second one to the word chain, add A-N. Chenan. Alright? Now, chenan means what? Which means to be kind. It means to be favorable, to be gracious, to pity, to have mercy, to bestow upon the other person, to make lovely, to implore. It also means goodwill. I love the goodwill part. There are names that carry goodwill, and you want to associate with such names. There are things we have experienced in the ministry. I've been places where I was treated so nicely. I said, why are you treating me like this? It's because of your pastor. Because your pastor's name carries goodwill. Are you there? I went to the Promise Keepers Conference in South Africa there when the founder came that time, coach. And the men rally was held in the stadium. There were about 50,000 men and their young and their sons in that stadium. And there were 40 countries, even from Uganda, some people had come, and from Kenya. And so I was representing Namibia, where I lived 15 years, and Zambia, my country of birth. It was so powerful. So when we went to the registration, these Americans had come, they took over everything. So I registered my name. And then, we're at the Sheraton Hotel, the Holiday Inn. So I registered my name, and then the other guy registered his name, and I was about to leave, and they paired us 2x2 in the rooms at the hotel. Can you imagine living with somebody you don't know? You don't know what they carry, you don't know what they do at night. So I said, you're the stranger. So as I was leaving, this man, this lady follows me. Excuse me, sir. We made a mistake. You're supposed to be by yourself in the room. I said, wow, that's powerful. Big room. Big. One of those after presidential suite, then the room that follows. That's the one I had. And then my friend, Dr. Nkrumah, Francis Nkrumah, there's a great grandson of Dr. Nkrumah. He's a friend of mine. Dr. Nkrumah was also by himself, two of us. So I said, why did you do this? Then the David Molapo, a motivational speaker, a very powerful guy there, he was Africa president for Promise Keepers that time. So I said, no, I know you, I know your pastor. I said, man, this pastor is blessing me wherever I go. It's because of your pastor. We know a lot about you guys and what God has been able to do through your lives and for that nation. So because of my pastor, their pastor also, I ended up in a big room. Are you there? Ever say goodwill? Now, I've come to understand that when there's a sick man in the house, in the church, you have to sit under the anointing, because the anointing is the anointing that blesses you. The anointing you resent is the anointing you exit. There are people I know that are blessed on account of man of God. That's why the Bible says, believe God and you shall be, what? You shall be established. Believe his prophets and you shall prosper. Oh, somebody shout hallelujah. Come on, talk to me. Anyway, if you don't talk to me, I'll talk to myself because I always get blessed when I preach. Are you there? Goodwill. In the New Testament, favor has the same root as grace. In the Greek, it is called charis. Right? It means to rejoice. It means to have favor. To have acceptance. It is a kindness granted or a desired a benefit or gratitude, a favor done without expecting anything in return. Are you there? It's absolute freeness of the kindness of God to men, finding its only motive in the bounty and the free-heartedness of the giver, God. It is unearned, and it is what we taught Julius, a merited favor. Amen. Right, Pastor Chi? It's unmerited favor. Amen. And I want you to follow me here. God is getting ready to bless some people here today. Now, favor is one of the greatest blessings you could ever receive from God, and there is no end to God showering you with it. You are destined for favor. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm destined for favor. Favor. And favor knows no limitation. Amen. When your set time comes, you could be in Bangkok, but when God sets out to look for you, he will find you, he will locate you. You'll be hunted like a plague until you are found. Oh, come on, somebody shout hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Remember when you're marrying Christine, I'll stop there. Oh, God is a good God. Amen. No matter where you are. Amen. When favor screams, it will locate you. Oh, Eba said, favor locate me now. I said, favor locate me now. Oh, come on. If I was in Nigeria, this place will come down. Because I go to Nigeria a lot. Oh, I want you to follow here today. You're going to get blessed. You know, Genesis 8:22, the Bible says, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest and go and cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. I'm talking about favor. That's why I quoted that. Shall not cease as we come to the close by the time I finish. Looked at you unfavorably, they shall favorably look at you the way they looked at Israel, and Israel plundered the Egyptians. The greatest act of favor from God is when he sacrificed his son for you and I. We're supposed to die. Favor! Give out a shouter's cry. That's why the Bible says you are saved by grace through faith, and that is not of yourselves. It is one. It is the grace of God. Amen. Are you there today? So, Pastor, let me know now. Help us here now. You're talking about favor. What can favor do? There is not a thing favor can fail to do. The list is endless, but I'll give you some little bits here and there so that you can go home packed. Not loaded, packed. Amen. What can favor do? You know, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 26, verse 12 to 14, when the favor of God came on Isaac, he had a harvest beyond his ability and planting, a harvest that was bountiful, irrespective of the condition and atmosphere at the time of planting. He planted in the time of famine. He had abundant harvest. Are you there? Favor knows. That's why we read Genesis 8:20. Favor knows no weather. Doesn't matter the weather conditions. When favor comes,
Oh, come winter, come rain. In Africa, we say, come thunder. Are you there? When favor comes, you will be elevated. Amen. Hallelujah. Can I hear a big amen? Oh, come on, somebody shout hallelujah. Amen. Ever say favor? Look at me now. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So Isaac sowed, the Bible says, in that land. Are you there? And received in the same year 100-fold. Are you there? And the Lord blessed him. May God remember you today for all that you have done for him. Pray the prayer of Nehemiah. Lord, remember me for good, for all that I've done for these people. Pastor Julius, God will remember us for what we have done in that country, what we did in Congo, what we did in Malawi, what we did in Zimbabwe, what we did in Swaziland, what we did everywhere where God sent, in Namibia. Oh, God, remember what you have done for that nation, other nations beyond Africa. God will remember you for every seed that you have planted, every tithe that you have given. God will remember you. Somebody say, Lord, remember me. Yes, he will. It's not over until he says it's over. Amen. Some people say it's not over until you die. Tell anybody, say, I'm not dying. Say, I can't die. Okay, that's good. You don't believe that. That devil is a liar. Someone came and said, no, brother, Psalm 90 says 70 or 80 by reason of strength. Eh? But how many politicians and circumcised Philistines are living beyond 80, 90. And then you, a child of God, you say 70 or 80. Then when I read that, I said, this is not what God was saying. Psalm 90 was the prayer of Moses. Because of the stiff-neckedness of the children of Israel. So we've seen so much. We don't know whether we're going to see tomorrow. Oh, God, teach us to number our days. That's what the psalm says. Teach us to number our days. Our days are, our times are in your hands. This is Moses praying. Don't let us die now, at least 70. Or by reason of strength, sir, 80. If it's 70, then I've got a few years remaining. Shoot, how many years you have left if it was like that? So, you know what I'm talking about. Huh? Then I want to read Genesis chapter 6, verse 2. The years of man shall be 120 years. How can Moses be telling him to live 70, 80 when he himself lived 120? Are you there? That's not fair. It's not fair, Moses. Are you there? Eh? I saw a man was running the other day on CNN. They were joking with him. 104 years here in this your country. There's a place in Nigeria where you find people 110, 16. Are you there? So, Julius, you can't die. When I'm 115, I'll be more handsome than the way I'm looking right now. And I'll propose to my wife again. Will you? Hallelujah. Oh, somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Eba say, I decree today, as I sow in this month and in this year, I shall receive a harvest in the same year. Amen. You say, now, Pastor, what can favor do? Number one, favor is the key that takes away the limitation of life. Are you there? Limitation of life. Amen. In the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 9, verse 1, this is David. You can write it down, read it later. But David says, is there anyone? Are you there? Is there what? Now David said in verse 1, is there still anyone who is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness? Did we not say favor is kindness? So we're talking about favor, right? Because other translations say that I may show them what? Favor. Other ones will still say that I may show them mercy. Are you there? That I may show them grace. And there was a servant of the house of Saul whose name was Ziba. So when they had called him to David, the king said to him, are you Ziba? He said, at your service. Oh, they knew how to answer in the palace. You don't say, yeah, man, I am. He said, get out of my house. Then the king said, is there not still someone of the house of Saul to whom I may show the kindness of God? And Ziba said to the king, there is still a son of Jonathan, right, who is lame in his feet. He put a label on Ziba, right, on the son of Jonathan. He served in the palace. Are you there? All he could have said was, yes, there is one. His name is Mephibosheth. But then he tried to describe him. He is lame. He walks like this. But did David say, how is his condition? No. He's the one. But that's what the world does, right? They label us. They put a label as if we are in a factory on that machine where they're going. You know what I'm talking about. All right. Even when someone has been forgiven of his sin, of adultery, or divorce, God forgives sins except divorce. When the people see that person, do you know, Brother James, oh, that man who divorced his wife. Do you know, Sister K, oh, that divorcee, a label. Is there anyone in the house of Saul? Oh, there's a guy who walks, he doesn't walk cool, man, he's a, you know, his name is, you know, he says there is one. Are you there? But this guy had a name. Because one day, he was not born like that. When war broke out, David had won the war. David had become king. Are you there? And so when David became king, it was natural for the house of Saul to fear. Say, now we are dead. Because this man whom my father hunted like a dog is now the king over Israel and Judah. Are you there? So they were scampering in every direction, trying to run away. So the nurse picked him, and as she was about to run, she tripped and dropped the child, and the child broke his both legs, and he became lame in both his feet. And they went to a place called Lodeba. Are you there? Okay. You understand what I'm saying? Right? So David and Jonathan, meanwhile, had a covenant that also would affect families. That's what covenant does. Right? That's why when you understand covenant that you have with God, your offsprings will be affected by it. Are you there? The generation that comes after you. So people come to you and they say, there's a generational curse. This asthma. So I have asthma. My grandfather had it. My mother had it. My uncle had it. It's a family disease. I didn't know there were family diseases because all I know is they are family friends. It's in the blood. Tell me, before the fall, was there adultery? Was there witchcraft? Was there sorcery? Was there corruption? Was there sickness? Disease? There was nothing. After the fall, sin entered into this man through one man. Right? After the fall, death comes in. Sickness comes in. Disease comes in. Corruption comes in. Adultery comes in. Marrying many wives comes in. Are you there? All these things came in. Witchcraft came in. And our forefathers learnt these things. And they were passed. Are you there? Huh? What came on Adam was passed through is a bloodline. Are you there? Passed through the bloodline. That's why God had to shed his own blood on Jesus. Are you there? So, when Jesus came, he came to reverse. He came to cancel that which had set in because of the fall. So that when you get born again, everything stops as you. The back stops here. If your father had cancer, you don't have it. Jesus has saved you. Jesus has redeemed you. Cursed is anyone who hangs on the tree. That's what happened. Now you go through the same curse that pursued your father who pursue you because you are ignorant of what God as Jesus did on the cross. Are you there? And the Bible says we are still in a battle. He will try to pursue you with those things. So when you pursued, you are attacked. When some preachers come, they say it is a curse from a great grandfather. We need to cast out a demon from you. Me, I don't have a demon. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Hello, somebody. Am I helping someone here today? Are you there? That's why the Bible says, for this purpose, the Son of Man was manifested so that he might destroy the works of the devil. Amen. Disease is a work of the devil. Sickness is a work of the devil. Adultery is the work of the devil. Anything that corrupted man, Jesus came to reverse. And the only thing, the only way that thing is going to be reversed in your life is when you receive Jesus into your heart. Amen. Are you there? And then you stay because your soul needs to be saved every day. In other words, sanctified every day. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Oh, somebody shout hallelujah. 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 So David is saying, is there anyone? Is there anyone in this place? Is there anyone in this church who is still here in this place this morning? Is there any man here today? Jesus is saying, that I may show them, that's what God is saying, that I may show them kindness for the sake of my son, Jesus. Are you there? That I may show them what? Kindness for the sake of my son, Jesus. Is there anyone in this place who is struggling financially that I may show them financial favor? Is there anyone in this place who is still struggling in their marriage that I may show them how to treat their wives like a queen? And how to treat their husbands like a king? Is there anyone that's still alive in this place? Are you there? That I may show them kindness in their work, in their business. That I may show kindness to them for the sake of Jesus. If you are carrying a baby in your womb this morning, it's a financial womb, it's a business womb, whatever womb, it could even be a physical one, I want to declare to you today that you shall not miscarry. You shall give birth. I say you shall give birth. I say you shall deliver. In the name of, I was preaching one place, Pastor Chiluba's church. This young girl, I said, all those that don't work, come to the front. So they came, out of them. Usually, when you make that altar call, maybe the half the church stands up. They came. So now I was plucking jobs from the air. Said, do this. So I was going, come, put it, hold it, it's yours. You know, just, you know, pastors do weird things sometimes. So I was just going, take it. So I come to this young lady, I said, so I wanted to take, I said, hey, God is going to give you a job. They will send you to Livingstone, right? The capital, the tourist capital. You work there, but they will bring you back to the capital city. And that's exactly what happened. So I landed at Lusaka Airport, and I'm trying to go out there for my pickup. And then this lady said, Pastor, you remember me? I said, no. Pastor Chiluba said, you prophesied. Okay. So did I prophesy? I just gave a word, you know. Said, but you give a word. You prophesied that this was what was going to happen. And exactly that's what happened. I'm back here. I was in Livingstone for a year, but they brought me back here. God is faithful. I say, God is faithful. Amen. You're saying number two, what can favor do? Favor will pick up the good that you have done, that men have forgotten, and cause promotion to take effect. Hello? Are you listening to these things? Right? I don't want to scream, so let me be nice to you. Right? It will pick up what? The good. That you have done, that men have forgotten and caused promotion to come. When God remembers you. You know, before I go to that, do you know Mephibosheth was saved twice? Did you know that? Twice. The first time David called for him, he sat at the king's table. He ate with the king. Are you there? Amen. Regardless of his condition, you may be laughing at him, but the guy lives in the palace, but he walks like this. Are you there? Second time, Joshua was deceived. When the Gibeonites came, they heard about the Jericho wall crumbling down. They say, we are dead. If we have to do anything, let's disguise ourselves and go and just be their servants. So they deceived Joshua in chapter 9 of Joshua. They say, we have come from afar. And they had put on tattered clothes, but they had nice bread because they said, we just picked it from the oven and these clothes are like this because of the long journey. But they were just neighbors across the road. And they entered into a covenant with them. Remember that? Right? And then the people, then 3 days later, they discovered that these are guys next door. So the people were upset. Right? Very upset. They said, no, we need to kill them. We need to do what? But Joshua saved the Gibeon. I said, you cannot kill them. We made an oath. We made a covenant. Are you there? We cannot kill them. So they were saved. So they became cutters of wood and hewers of water. And they served Israel. But when Saul, in his zeal for Israel and Judah, became king, he killed a lot of Gibeonites. Massacred them. And then because of what Saul had done, a plague on Israel for 3 years. You understand that? There was a plague. And now, what David did now, in order to get rid of this, the Gibeonites came, not even in order to, because then we might be saying, David sacrificed people to stop the plague. No. The Gibeonites came and said, David, right, Saul king killed our people. He caused pain in our families. So we want revenge. Are you there? Give us 7 men who are still alive from the house of Saul, including Mephibosheth. You understand that? Hello? So give us 7. So David had already promised under oath. So he could not reverse it. So he gave them 7. But you know what he did? He spared Mephibosheth again. Why? Because of the covenant that he had with Jonathan. You understand that? Because of the covenant. Now, because of the covenant that you have with Jesus, the devil cannot touch your children. The devil cannot touch you. He may try to afflict you. You feel funny and strange. The devil is a liar. Are you there? You know, can I say this? Eh? I got sick this morning and I was going to call him to say I can't come. My body just weak. My head was numb. It was terrible. You know? Then I had this whole neck numbness. Like someone is holding my head like this. And I became weak. I could not eat. I didn't eat, so you better take me for lunch. Are you there? It was so bad. Are you there? See how free I am with you. And I called him. I said, can you pray for me? So he brought oil. We prayed and prayed. And I felt a bit better. Then I said, Pastor Johnson, let's pray again. I was reading Smith Wigglesworth's book when he was praying for someone. Then I prayed and then the pain was still there. I said, I laid hands on that place where the pain was. The pain moved until the pain was taken out of him. So they pray again because this neck, oh, it was so. So we prayed. And my neck is okay now. And I said, devil, you will not stop those people from hearing this morning. Are you there? Amen. So I feel good. Amen. Listen to this. Listen to this. Listen to the God is going to bless you.
I said, favor will pick up the good that you have done. Number two, that men have forgotten.
Promotion to take effect. Esther. I love Esther. I preach on intentional prayer when it comes to Esther. How when she had the opportunity to strike Haman, but she took it easy, you know, did a dinner for the king, and then another dinner, and Haman was invited there. You understand what I'm saying, right? But listen to this. In the book of Esther, I think it's chapter number 6. There is Mordecai from the start. He's sitting at the king's gate. Then one day, there were two people that were plotting to assassinate the king. The plot was exposed. Are you there? And Mordecai is the one that exposed the two assassins. But you know, in those days, they wrote everything in the chronicles. It was chronicled. Are you there? They recorded and they forgot about Mordecai. And meanwhile, wicked Haman was plotting to kill all the Jews in Shushan. Is it not the same place, Shushan, which is today Tehran, where Ahmadinejad was saying, kill all the Jews in history? The same place where Haman said, kill the Jews, is the same place Ahmadinejad, when he was president of Iran, he says, the Jews must die. It was recorded. Until one day, something happened. Haman, after attending two banquets, said, my, this is getting better. Queen Esther, she favors me. Who can the king favor apart from me? Pride comes before the fall. Are you there? You are so excited, but then Esther took it easy. That's why sometimes be like Esther when you're praying and just get the king to just intimate with you, intimate with God. And then when you have won the king's heart, then you say what you want and God will answer your prayer. One little guy, this boy would come and say, Daddy, $5. He said, here, son, $5. The Bible is, Daddy's reading the newspaper. $5 for days, every day for months. Then one day the daddy said, this is too much for spoiling. Daddy, I need $10. I'm going to be with my friends. So I said, sit down here. Every time you come, it's $10, $10. Get out of here. So he hit him. I said, this is my mommy, mommy. Honey, why are you beating the kid? What's wrong with you? He said, that kid is getting spoiled. Every time I've been giving him money, every time, daddy. So it was over for that kid. But you know, he had a plan. He came one day and sat next to his daddy. Said yes. Say hi, Dad. Hi, Dad. Yes, son. You know, I was with friends yesterday. They were talking about their daddies. They talked, and then I began to think about my own daddy. I just said, Lord, there is no daddy like my daddy. Dad, you are the best daddy in town. Oh, Dad, you are awesome. Oh, Daddy, you are awesome. And the way you love mommy, the way you look after us, you give me money, and you are awesome. There is no one, we cannot compare anyone in this county here who is like you. You are great. So the daddy, meanwhile, was feeling good. Took out his wallet. That day, he didn't take out $10. $50 bill. Gave to the child. Oh, someone shout hallelujah. Amen. Amen. That's what you need to do with God. Sit and just fall in love intimately. And then when the time comes to strike, I say, God, there's a wicked Haman that needs to be, But you know how she put it, Are you there? So they did not remember Mordecai. Until one day, the king had no sleep. Have you ever been there? Those days, we didn't have TV sets. Those of you that were born in the 70s, we had black and white TV. And our friends would come home to watch TV. Now we charge them 2 pennies. So if you don't have sleep, you get a book, Mama Pastor, and read yourself to sleep. Remember that? Are you there? Now we have mobile phones. You can't mobile yourself to sleep. Are you there?
Facebook keeps you awake, chatting with people that are asleep. Are you there? And there is a king on the throne. His name is Zuckerberg. And there's all these followers here. He's the king. He's got all your data. He's got all your information. Now he's sending satellite to space. Let me get away from there, lest I be attacked by some Facebook people here. But anyway, listen to this. So the king had no sleep. Are you there? And then something happened. He says, I can't sleep. Bring me the scroll just to read. So they bring the scroll to him. And then he's reading. Then he found a place where Mordecai had saved the king. Are you there? And he said, what is this? So he calls one of the palace guards, who is in the hall. Meanwhile, Mordecai had just come now to ask the king for a final blow on the Jews. He had already prepared the gallows. Do you understand what I'm saying? Are you? So he said, who's in the palace? He says, Haman has just come in. But Mordecai was still at the gate. He said, Haman, call Haman. Haman comes. I said, Haman, what shall be done to the man whom the king delights? Are you there? To honor. Then Mordecai buttoned up his button here, if he was wearing a suit like mine. I said, So I can imagine Mordecai now, if it was today, you take a new writing pad and a brand new pen and begin to give prescription now. Number one, a royal robe. Number two, that chariot. You know, the king, the one the king rides. Number three, the signet ring. Hey, are you there? That's what, when favor comes, your enemy will give recommendation for you to be promoted. Are you there? He prescribed. And he said, wow. Because he thought it was himself. He even put what was not supposed to be there. Huh? You understand that? Huh? He almost said 10 wives. No, he didn't say that. Huh? So he prescribed. But he didn't know that he was doing it for somebody else. Are you there? So he says, quickly, go and do what you have said on Haman. I mean, on Mordecai. When he heard that, that was the beginning of the fall of Haman. Went and washed him, and you know how they wash you in the palace. Esther would bath about 10 times a day in milk. Are you there? With all those petals flowing everywhere. Beautify. And then sometimes the king won't even see her for 1 year. Are you there? So they paraded him. Mordecai had been promoted. What am I saying today? There is someone that has what belongs to you, and they're having sleeplessness. Until they release it, they will know no sleep. Someone can't sleep because of you. Because of the covenant child of God. They have no sleep. I declare today, in the name of Jesus, that one person that has what rightfully belongs to you, I command them to have no sleep. I command them to release it to you. You know, God is so good, eh? He will send agents of increase and multiplication to you. The devil also sends agents of destruction. Like he sent Joseph. He sent Potiphar's wife to Joseph to derail his destiny. He sent Delilah to Samson. Are you there? The devil is a liar. Amen. God also sends, who send agents of increase. That's why I said, don't take me for granted, because that thing that you are looking for could be buried in your neighbor seated next to you. You understand that? Are you there? Agents. He sent Ananias. He added value to the Apostle Paul.
You remember that? That's God. They made it. Added value to Naaman. Are you there? God does that. He sends, there's an agent. I'm not saying you go and locate and start to look for him. When favor comes, you'll come. Are you there? That's what God does. He will come. When opportunity, you know, they used to tell us, did you learn that in your country? They say, opportunity comes once. You remember that? That was the biggest lie the devil ever told. Because if it came once, what are you all doing there? Because you miss your opportunities. Because opportunities come in cycles. Cycles. And sometimes it comes in garments of affliction. But it's an opportunity. Are you there? You understand that? Eh? And then sometimes I see a car coming to the house. Are you there? The passenger in the car is called favor. Do you understand that? The driver is called opportunity. The car is chance, is time. And they are coming to your house and they are knocking. That's what happens. Time and chance. In other words, time and opportunity, because chance is another word for opportunity. Okay? There can be a lifetime opportunity. There can be, I mean, it comes in cycles. So when you have missed an opportunity, when you should have been this, and you're still crying, oh, if as many years ago, those years will kill you. They are gone. Are you there? Don't cry over opportunities that have gone. There's another one coming. Amen. I say, there's another one coming. It's like ministry. Do you know Smith Wigglesworth got saved at age 49? That's a bit late in life, but it's not a written thing that one must get saved here. Right? Sony here, we are here. Someone says, I got saved when I was 3 years old. Wow. You understand that? 49. But look what God did through that man's life. Does that give some comfort to those of us who are old and have missed opportunities? Are you there? Your age, breakthroughs shall come. Shout hallelujah, somebody. Amen. Amen. So Mordecai was lifted. Look at the next thing here. The next thing says, so I was also terrified. I said, this time, it's afternoon service. Eh? Favor will search or look for you when your set times come. Are you there? Remember Samuel comes to David's house, to Jesse's house, right? And all the guys are parading and then is coming, and he came to anoint one as king, and then all the seven brothers, macho looking guys, you know, everyone paraded, and then Samuel said, did God lie? There's no one here. Are you there? Because God kept on saying, I've rejected him. I don't want him. And then he says, are these all your sons? Then Jesse said, no, there remaineth yet the youngest. Go and bring him. We will not sit until he comes. That's what's happening right now. The world is still standing because you have not yet come. But God is about to manifest you in Jesus' name. I say God is about to manifest you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. He was not around. When favor comes, you may not be around, but favor will locate you. Favor will look for you. Amen. If it is your time, no one can take it away from you. If it is your season, no one can take away from you your season. Are you listening to what I'm saying? You may be in the bathroom and say, we'll wait until he finishes what he's doing in the bathroom, until he's blessed. You understand what I'm saying? Are you listening to what I'm saying today? Somebody shout hallelujah. Amen. Amen. There remaineth yet. So you are the one that remaineth yet. You are about to be manifested. Amen, somebody. Can I hear a big amen? Hallelujah. Why did you laugh? Can I finish off? Listen to this. When favor comes, it will look for you. It will wait for you because you are destined for it. It will hunt you down until you are located. Amen. So, Mama, you are sitting there, you say, I don't know. Nothing is happening. Nothing seems to be making sense. Have patience. Amen. Bible says, you shall arise. Amen. And have what? Show favor on Zion. Because the set time to favor her is now. So no matter the condition or situation, it is your time. You may be lame like Mephibosheth, but it is your time. You may be broke or broken, despised, rejected like Jephthah was rejected, but it is your time. Your time is coming. You ever say, my time is coming? Say, my time is coming. I decree today that you are entering your season of blessings. I decree today that you are entering your season of favor. I decree today that there's a turnaround that is coming for your life. You shall experience a turnaround in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. In the place where men thought, man of God, you fall and fail, that is the same place God is lifting you up to promote you. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Pastor Julius, Joseph must have hated the man who invented the letter P. Because P number one, the pit. P number two, Potiphar's house. P number three, prison. All P's were just hunting for him. Until one day, there was a around in prison. Something happened to Joseph that day. He did something in prison that caught the king's attention. Are you there? Oh, from the prison to prime minister of Egypt. Amen. Amen. You know, in life, when God promotes you at your working place, or you're running a business, it is not for you. Can you imagine Joseph would have said, hey, yeah, where are those brothers? Wicked people. Did you know this was coming? Eh? Wicked. You're wicked. See me now. You will see. He didn't do that. Are you there? God will bless you for your neighbor. Are you there? God will bless you. God lifts you up. God puts you in strategic places for a purpose. For you to enjoy life with your children. Are you there? See, you are disfigured because of too much steak. I forgot. Let me get away from that. Oh, somebody shout hallelujah. Shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. I decree today, you are entering your season. I say you are entering. You know, I was coming from South Africa, from that same Promise Keepers conference. The plane was full. My seat was 827, and I sat on my seat in Namibia, because I lived in Namibia for almost 15 years. A lady came, and you know, forgive us from Africa, because it's a white lady that came. You know, here it's common. You say black, African American, white, you're right? Latinos, so you are racist here. So, you know, so a white with another white man. And this guy is going with a beard. Then they came straight to my seat. Said, sir, we need this man to take your place. Come and join us in the business class. I said, did I hear you right? I said, come and join us in the business class. I didn't waste time. I even forgot my bag up there. I said, oh, I forgot my bag. So I took my laptop bag. I said, and I sat there. And then, wow, this is nice. All right. The spoons were stainless steel there. It was plastic. Oh, man. This is good. The food was hot. It was not covered like, you know, you have the economy. You have to rip the thing off. And then you eat. And sometimes the food is tasteless. You don't know. Baked those potatoes. It was, maybe they baked them in India. They put them on the plane, you know, because the plane was in India. You understand what I'm saying? Man, it's a fresh food. I said, wow, this is good. Amen. Man, I was going to, you know, when I went to Singapore that time, do you know, from India to Singapore, I was in, not business class, first class. This lady gives me a pass. Those days, before they said first, it was called executive class. So give me a. I said, madam, there's a mistake. I said, no. She was doing this in India. I said, no, it's okay. So no, there's a mistake. I said, no. I said, it's okay. So, you know, I was terrified. So I'm going into the plane, right, with this wrong pass. So I give, I show this lady, the lady shows. So I went to the first class, and it was
I sat and I was so terrified with these big business people. And then the man made a mistake and said, "Sir, what do you do for your living?" I said, now, when you say, "What do you do for your living?" I had to play smart. You know? All right? You don't say, "I'm a pastor." I just say, "I'm a minister." Full stop. Figure out, minister of what? That's what I did. Because my passport says of religion. So I just said, "I'm a minister." Period. I said, "Oh, great. Ask any further questions." So we're equal there according to that statement that I made. Oh, somebody shout hallelujah. Oh, that's what God can do. Am I talking to someone here today? That's what favor can do. Favor will take you to places where you never dreamt you'd be. It is not over for anyone here today. Amen. Favor is coming. Favor is calling for you. Favor gave out the loudest cry. David said, "Mephibosheth." Oh, and Mephibosheth, when he heard the soldiers come and the carriage there, and they were going woo, woo, to his house in the slums of the ghetto of that place, Lodiba was a terrible place. He said, "Now I'm finished. David has sent his men to come and kill me. Me, lame. What is it that he wants? You know, I'm finished. I am finished." And when they took him, they didn't tell him. They don't say, "Oh, the king wants you to come home and you'll be eating." No, they just said, "The king has sent for you." So, but he didn't know, amen, that there in the king's palace, at the king's table, the seats say reserved, and his place was there. Your place is there. You are earmarked for greatness. You are destined for greatness. You are destined for favor. You will make it whether the devil likes it or not. In the name of Jesus, every demonic spirit that is challenging your breakthrough today, I break it in Jesus' mighty name. Every altar that the enemy has mounted against you to stop you from becoming what God intended for you to become, I cancel it. I destroy it in the name of Jesus, the Son of the living God. In Jesus' mighty name. Anyone challenging your breakthrough today, in the name of Jesus, oh, we cancel the assignment. The Bible says God frustrates the schemes of the wicked ones so that their plans cannot be carried out. Somebody shout hallelujah. Shout hallelujah. Everybody say, "I'm going to make it." Favor. Favor. One preacher from Ghana, our friend Ado, said that. He said, "Future, wait for me, for I'm coming in style. And favor has sent me to come in that fashion." Are you listening to what I'm saying? Yeah. Amen. 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 Somebody shout hallelujah. Oh, blessed God, blessed Redeemer. Listen, the three more and then we go. Favor, ever say favor of God is God connecting you to that person who becomes the bridge to your fondest dream. Are you there? It is God using someone to give you the break that launches you into success. Because also I've come to discover in life that we leverage for success in life by riding on the shoulders of other people. Isn't that so? That's cool. Right? Your pastor, my pastor, he was looking to meeting Paul Crouch from TBA. I mean, he's a well-known man of God. He was former vice president of Zambia. But then, and the ministry was so big, he could not just... Even, I said, you use Mrs. Lindsay. She knows you. She supported. They helped us buy the Bible school in Zambia. So, but he could not just Paul Crouch. Because we had the TV ministry. Eh? So we need Paul. So one day, the deputy minister of finance, Danny Pule, invited Paul to Zambia at a full gospel businessmen's fellowship, right? And there was also that plan to start TBN Zambia. So he comes, then he invites our pastor to be the main speaker at that function. So he says, "Tenson, I'm sitting at the table and Paul is sitting next to me. The man that I've been looking for all these years." He preached. Paul was so blessed. He says, "My goodness, these messages need to be heard in America."
That's how he put him on television. Sent him to Port Elizabeth, where TBN was operating from, TBN Africa at that time. Recorded programs free of charge. Put him on the air free of charge. Are you there? You never can just tell. Do you remember what happened in that course? What do you call that place where you buy things Costco? Costco. I'm looking for my friend from the pastor from the associate pastor from Trinity Church there in Cedar Hill. And he can't, the secretary made him, took down the number. I can't get him. She gave him the number. He tried to call, he could not get him. I said, oh, forget this guy. So him and another friend said, we're going to Costco. So I said, you go. I think I'll remain. He said, no, pastor, I better you come. I said, okay, let me come. Go to Costco. And then we're looking for something that his wife had told him to pick, and we could not find it. You know men, right? It was there, but we didn't see it. We helped him. All of us didn't see it. We men. So we looked. Hey, Johnson, you remember that? So he sent me, I said, pastor, look that way. So I turned to these other fridges. I'm looking, and then there's a man standing next to me, right? And they just looked, and they looked tall. So when you look this way, you don't see the face. So I just saw here. So he's taller than me. So I just looked, and then I said, it's not here. Then I went. Then I came back to the same place. And let me check again. And the guy is sitting there for a long time also. He didn't know what to pick. He was like us. He also didn't know what to pick. And he didn't pick anything. He didn't find what his wife sent him to pick. So he's looking. Then when he moved away and I moved, then I looked up. It was the guy from Trinity. I said, Buddy Flowers. Because his toe, he had to bend over to me. I said, Denson? That's what happened, eh? And that's how we met. Then that we connected after 7 years. Are you listening to what I'm saying? You never can tell. Are you there? You never just can tell. That thing that you are looking for could be hidden in your neighbor next to you. Huh? We leverage. God uses people to help us to move forward. You can't be an island. You use people. He used Ananias for Saul. He used the maid for Naaman. Are you there? That's how God works. Amen. But when favor comes, it will lead you there. Amen, somebody. I say it will lead you there. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen, somebody. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen to this. When your heart is right and you are faithful, favor becomes the magnetic field about you attracting everything good in your life. Favor is also the field around you repelling everything wicked and bad from your life. Are you there? Amen. Amen. This is powerful. Two more, then we close. Amen. One. Listen to this. Favor can do for you in one day what you have been trying to do for years. A day of favor is worth more than a year of labor. Favor can open doors that labor could not open. When favor meets labor, something always happens. That is happening to you. I say that is happening to you. Amen. Something that you've been trying to do for years, when favor comes. I say, when favor comes, just one day of favor is enough to usher you to your great destiny. Amen. Are you there? So you're sitting there, say, how long? So it's taking long. I've tried this. I've tried that. It is coming. I've waited long. It is coming. You understand that? Oh, I can't marry. I'm 34. When you're 25, that's all right. 30. You begin to look at the calendar. 35. Help me, Holy Ghost. 40, I am finished. No, you are not. He is coming. I say he is coming. One lady said, Pastor, I can't get a man. I look at her and said, you look too sophisticated. Sometimes just be nice to yourself. Just, you know. Because all these men are saying, boo, yeah, yeah, can't. You know, cannot. You know. But you don't have to look shabby in order to be looked at, because that's when they will really run away from you. But when your time comes, amen, he will come. She will come. Amen. You come, she will come. I see you entering that realm today. In the name of Jesus. Today, I prophesy to you. Your mountain, may your mountain of blessing, of opposition, become a mountain of blessing for you. May your mountain stand strong. Psalm 30 verse 7. I say, Lord, by your favor, you have made my mountain to stand strong, the psalmist said. That is your portion. In the name of Jesus. And favor is the divine shovel for digging you out of the pits. Amen. When God's favor comes upon you, the pit in which you are meant to die will be a place from which God shall raise you up and give you a testimony. Someone, God is giving someone here a testimony. 10 more testimonies. 10 good testimonies. In the name of Jesus. They are your portion. In Jesus' mighty name. Your enemy will see you lifted up. Like Joseph was thrown into the pit, but God lifted him up. Your enemy will see you blessed. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm blessed. Say, I'm blessed. Say, I'm blessed. I am blessed. In the name of Jesus, the Son of the living God. And for those of you that are faithful in your tithing, in your offerings, tithe is your door to financial favor. Amen. This is not. No, we must tithe so God can command his blessing upon our lives. He said his covenant of peace will be with us. When we tithe, God will come near to us and bring judgment against all those who rise up against us. He will rebuke the devourer on your behalf. He will open windows of heaven for you. Amen. Hallelujah. Someone said tithe positions you financially. Tithe protects you financially. Offerings multiplies you financially. Integrity and uprightness positions you financially. When you are positioned, amen, when integrity and uprightness positions you, you become a target of every financial blessing. I decree to you today, you are blessed in Jesus' name. I decree to you today that every seed that you planted, whatever it is that you have done that men have forgotten about, I repeat, God will remember you. I say, God will remember you. Some of you, in fact, God has remembered you. In the name of Jesus, the Son of the living God. I say, God has remembered you. In Jesus' mighty name. Look at this. When you know what favor does? It will determine also the level of your financial increase. The years you have without results, without proper pay, God will back get it to you in Jesus' name. You believe that? I believe that with all of my heart. Amen. You know the Israelites, in closing, 450 years, no pay. Can you imagine? Until one day, God moved. He caused the Egyptians to look favorably towards Israel. You understand that? And they plundered the Egyptians. Are you there? These are people who built pyramids, sphinxes, the city of Ramses. Every that stands today was built by the Jews. Israelites were meant to leave Egypt without pay. They say, go, leave Egypt, but leave your animals. Just go, leave everything. Moses said, we cannot go without our animals. In other words, he was saying, we cannot worship God without our money, without our wealth. That's why the Bible says when you come to God, you must have something to give to him. Every time you appear before God, have a gift to give to God. Are you listening to us? And then God caused an unusual favor to rest upon them. When God caused the Egyptians to look favorably upon the Israelites, I declare to you today, everybody stand to your feet right now. I declare to you today, God who caused people to look favorably upon you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Everybody say, God, God, people to look favorably upon me today in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. I declare to do today that favor will rest upon you. I declare to do today that favor will restore to you that which was taken from you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Favor is what gives you power. Is what gives you wealth. The favor of God is upon you today in Jesus' mighty name. Whatever the enemy has taken from you, restoration has come. It is time to be restored. It is time to take your place. It is time to arise. It is time. Ever say, it is time. Ever say, favor. Favor. Look at me now. Come on, lift up your hands. Father, in the name of Jesus, right now, I want to decree prophetically upon your people today that, Lord, what we have shared here today, Lord, that these things shall be fulfilled in their lives. I speak, I decree, because your word says, you shall decree a thing and it shall be established for me. Father, establish it for them. May they use their mouth to say, to decree, to proclaim, to declare in the name of Jesus. Those things, oh Father, those things that their hearts desire, those things that they want done in their lives, I pray in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, that they shall manifest in their lives. I decree today, oh God, great manifestation. In the name of Jesus, of the promises of God, in Jesus' mighty name today, I give you praise. I give you praise. I give you praise. I minister to you today. Come on, lift those hands. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, bless your people today. I speak the blessings of Abraham upon these your people. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. The devil cannot derail that which you are doing in their lives. I cancel every plan of the enemy. Every strategy of the enemy, every assignment of the devil in the name of Jesus, our lives, it is canceled today. In Jesus' mighty name, I rebuke sickness and disease. I cancel it. I terminate it in the name of Jesus. I decree healing in someone's body right now. I decree healing in someone's body right now. In the name of Jesus, be healed in your bones. Be healed in your heart. Be healed in your liver. Be healed in your kidneys. Be healed in your pancreas. Be healed. Be healed in your prostate. Be healed right now in your blood. Be healed in your brain. Be healed in your mind. In the name of Jesus, I speak healing right now. In Jesus' mighty name, I give you praise and I give you glory and honor today. In the name of Jesus. Oh, come on, just lift up your voice and just thank him for the victory. Thank him for the breakthrough right now. Come on, do it, do it, do it, do it right now. Pray, 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 pray. Whisper something to God. Whisper something to God in the name of Jesus. We give you praise. We give you praise. In the name of Jesus. It is done. It is done. God is a good God. Thank you, Lord. Is there anyone I know I've prayed? Is there anyone that came with pain? They're sick. They're what? Right here? Julius, did I tell you the testimony and then the pastor is coming? I was preaching at Cosmos Church, Mananshku. And those doctors that come to us every year, from year 25, all fields. A lady, doctor checked my wife and she found my wife had fibroids. And they said, Rachel, your fibroid is the size of a papaya. Because she was looking so. So I said, I hope it's not a child. She was looking like she was expecting. So I bind that. And then the doctor said, papaya. As I said, we cannot operate on you when we come back next year. So preaching. And then the Lord gives me a word. But I knew my wife had fibroids. But the word I gave in my mind, it was not for her because I knew her condition. Right? But when the word came, I said, lady here with fibroids, God wants to touch you, to heal you. The first person that came to the front was my wife. She comes. Then others came. You know how good it is when you lay hands on your wife and she is slain under the power of God? Very good. Pastors, we feel good. Eh? You've done that. Do that one now, you see. She just went, bang! And she was there for a long time on the floor. Then she got up and I prayed for other people. And then we went home. As I said, the fibroids are gone. In fact, I said, woman, that's my wife. I just rebuked. And I prayed for everybody. So, a year later, because she didn't want to go and get checked, we the husband has prayed. She's like one of those things, it's all right. Then she noticed, she didn't even notice that she had deflated here. So when those guys came to Lubuto again, Pastor Sof, they at the church, because she goes and works with them when they come, and the same doctor from New York, gynecologist, went there, checked her up. She said, Rachel, do you want to be checked? And she's the one who remembered. She checked her. There was no fibroid. It had not melted, dissolved. Are you there? God healed her. God can heal you. I was in Windhoek, those people in Comerstown, the colored area there. They were fighting so much. And so one person was hit with an iron bar here. And so the eardrum broke. And he became permanently shut in his right ear. So I was preaching Pastor Fred Joseph's branch church. So I was praying for the sick, and this man comes and he's swollen. He says, what happened? So he explained. So I took oil, I poured it in the ear. Dangerous thing to do. Just put anointing oil. Then I closed it. Then I prayed, the power of God hit him. He went like this. So we shut his ear. I said, can you hear with this one? He says, are you sure? So now we really pressed. Cloth. Put it here. Closed it. And the pastor went at the back and he called his name. And the man said, I can hear. God healed him. Amen. Are you there? That's where that lady at Fred Joseph's church, you know Pastor Fred Joseph? The lady that had kidney transplant. They gave her a new set of kidneys. But then she began to experience, she was experienced with her own original kidneys. Whatever, they are kidneys. They are all original. So, and she also told him, she went back on dialysis with transplanted kidneys. Can you imagine? And she came to that church and she was in pain and she had fever. She could not sit away. Actually, she just sat until this man starts to pray for the sick. I will not leave. And she was crying. She was in her face. So I asked, when she came, I asked Rachel to touch her here. Then we prayed. That's a lady that sat down sitting, Pastor Julius. And then, he said, when she slumped to the floor, the pain cut. She's okay up to today. Are you there? Is there anyone here? Or is it a terminal disease? Lift your hands. Whatever. Okay, everyone, lift your hands. I just release the grace for healing on you. The grace for health. I release to you Romans chapter 11, chapter 8, verse 11. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised Christ from the dead shall quicken your mortal body through the spirit that dwells in you. I give to you today in the name of Jesus, Romans 8:11. That is your total health package. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody shout, amen. Give God a hand clap. God bless you. Pastor.